Book of Revelation, chapter number 2. Revelation, chapter number 2, as we stand to our feet in honor of God's Word. Revelation, chapter number 2. Read one verse of Scripture. Verse number 5. The Bible says, the Lord Jesus is speaking here, "Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent." I want you to notice what the Bible says right in the middle of the verse. It says, "Repent and do the first works." I'm going to preach on that thought tonight. Repent and do the first works. Let's pray together. Father, we need thee. We need thy strength, thy help. Lord, I pray for the power of the Holy Spirit of God to rest upon this place. And Lord, I pray that you'd do that which only you can do. That what's accomplished in this place wouldn't be the accomplishments of man, but be the accomplishments of God. Have me, Lord, please, behind the cross. God, tonight, as sure as you've put this in my heart to preach, I pray that you'd put it in our mind, in our hearts, in our ears to hear and then to do. Lord, may we be faithful to the truths and to the commands of thy word. And God, may we take seriously our responsibility. For it's in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen and amen. In this message to the church of Ephesus, we see the Lord Jesus as he tells them of their great need. He tells this local church that they need to repent and do the first works. Churches in America, I believe, need to hear the same message tonight. Not just hear, but hear and do what the Bible says. The most blessed nation in the world is America. It's a nation that had founding fathers that looked to the Word of God in writing our Constitution. And when they would come to problems in writing this, these founding fathers would stop and they would pray and they would seek the guidance of God as they wrote down some wonderful things that would guide our country and guide our lives. The driving force behind the truth and freedom and soul liberty was the local church. In the early days before and after the Revolutionary War, the Baptist churches took their stand, and I want you to know they stood strong. And they stood true. And they stood right with the Word of God. But in today's society, if we think about speaking of politics or mentioning politics in the church, then there's an uprising. But I want you to know I'm the first to admit that the pulpit is a place for the preaching of the Word of God and not for political promotion. But the truths preached should influence the political scene. There's no doubt about it. The righteousness and the holiness of God's people ought to be important in our society. It ought to impact our society. It ought to influence our society. It ought to change people's lives. When someone speaks of the local Baptist church, there should be comments of their strong stand for the truth. In other words, when the name East Avenue Baptist Church is mentioned, people ought to say, "Boy, they stand for what they believe in." I'm tired of churches. I'm tired of churches being weak and anemic. If there's any hope for America, it's that God's people would do right, would be right, would repent and do the first works. Sadly, though, in many cases and in many places, the old-time religion's a thing of the past. It's laughed at and mocked and made fun of. Church has become a place of programs and promotions and personalities instead of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The downfall of this great country is not the bars, it's not the prisons, it's not the schools, it's not the court systems, and by the way, it's not even the political parties. The problem in America is the local church. Problem in America is the church has not done what they were supposed to do. We've traded the old-time religion for the show-time religion. We've traded morality for materialism. Hymns are out and hip-hop is in. Preaching is out and dialogue is in. Choirs are out and praise teams are in. We're more worried about the economy than the eternal souls of men and women and boys and girls. And I'll tell you, friends, tonight, I'm concerned about what's going on with the economy. But God said He would provide for me. But men and women and boys and girls are dying and go to hell. And I'd rather starve to death trying to win somebody to Jesus than to be so concerned about these things and not doing what God wants me to be doing. If I had a God that sits on the throne and He promised He'd provide my need, then I've got to trust Him. I've looked, I've listened, I've learned so much. I've watched this political thing unfold before me, and I've watched all the things happen before me, and I'll tell you what, it's discouraging when you see how far America has come. And the problem, it's not in Washington. It's in the local church. America's in trouble tonight because the church is in such a sad condition. You say, how's America in so much trouble? Well, besides the economy, I want you to look at the morality. Last week in San Francisco, there was a group of first graders that loaded on a bus for a field trip. Public funds paid for the bus, paid for the driver, paid for the gas, and for the trip. That sounds normal, doesn't it? Nothing wrong with that. Everybody, you know, take field trips and pays for it. The only thing is, they went to City Hall. When they got to City Hall, they went to watch two women unite in marriage. First graders. And they took them there and they watched as these two women exchanged their vows, embraced, hugged, and kissed in front of these first graders. So why in the world would they get to go to something like that? Because one of the women was their teacher. America's in trouble. America's in trouble. We had a cartoon in one of our local papers several years ago, and I liked it. I don't like what it says because it says a truth, but I've cut it out. I've got a copy of it. I've got the original thing up in my desk, and it's got a guy here on the phone, and he's got a big USA thing and a tie with stars and stripes, and it says the Daily News. He's reading the paper, and the headlines are "No Prayer in Schools." Then over here is an article "In God We Trust Challenged," "Public Prayer Offensive," "Ten Commandments Removed," "No Religion Allowed." You know, all these things. And these things seem to come to the forefront quite a bit in our society. And then it said, he's on the phone, and as he's on the phone, he's got the phone in his hand with a big smile on his face, and he says, "Hello, God. America here. I regret to tell you that we've decided to make a change. It seems that your services will no longer be needed. We sincerely thank you for your support during the early years of this country, but we have simply grown beyond the need for silly religious values and morals. So thanks and good luck with the rest of eternity." And I thought that epitomized America. There was a time when we realized our need for God, and God blessed us. And now we've said, "God, we don't want you any longer. God, we don't need you any longer." I'm telling you, we've promoted things in America that is absolutely destroying the fabric of our society. We've seen things happen before our very eyes. I mean, I'm talking about from the time I was a child up until this time, I cannot believe the things that have happened in my life. And some of you, there is absolutely no doubt you are shocked. But what's so shocking is that we're not as shocked as we used to be. There was a time in America that if some of the things that we see on TV, if they were to come on back then, somebody would have went out and they would have got their 12-gauge shotgun and they would have blown it out of their house. But we've let it creep its way in. We're watching vile and filth and wretchedness and ungodliness. We're watching things happen in our homes and in our lives that are absolutely anti-biblical, anti-Christian. And I say tonight that the only hope for America is for the churches to take heed of what Jesus said. in Revelation chapter number 2 as he's writing to that church of Ephesus to repent and to do the first works. Repent, the Bible says. Oh yes, it's a change of mind. But as I studied this out, I found out it goes deeper than that, because it's a word that's used in conjunction in the Greek with a word that means to move away from. Not only is it a change in mind, it's a change of heart, it's a change of ways, it's a change of attitude. It's time for the church to go back to its first works. It's time for the church to realize that our only hope is God. The world, the flesh, and the devil's creeped in. And what at one time was things that were slowly creeping in has become a pace that is seemingly the speed of light. We're watching churches that once named the name of Christ now become nothing more than a social gathering where sin is prevalent and the Savior is ignored. We must get back to the preaching of the Word without fear, without favor of man. We must get back to praying in the Holy Ghost power. And we must get back to proving that God is alive and that we belong to Him. We're living in a generation that knows nothing of revival. Do not understand what revival is. Have no clue of what revival is. They know nothing about the mighty moving of God. They know nothing of stepping out by faith and doing the impossible. I mean, we're living in a generation that mocks and makes fun of the things of God. And I tell you, the only hope for our society and the only hope for our children is for the church to repent and to do the first works. Our Baptist forefathers paved the way for us in this great land. There's no doubt about that. And I say we must pave the way for this generation and for the ones that will follow. So what do we need to do? What needs to happen? Well, I want you to look with me. First thing we need to do is fall in love with Jesus all over again. Amen. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 4. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. Why? Because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen. We've fallen out of love with Jesus in a lot of cases. You say, are you putting us here? No, I'm just, look, listen, heed. If God speaks to you, He speaks to you. If you're all right, then you're all right. You understand what I'm saying tonight? I just preach what He says to preach. But I think it's time that Christians fall in love with Jesus all over again. I remember when I first got saved. Man, I remember. I was so in love with Jesus. You remember? You remember when the burdens were lifted? You remember when the load was light? You remember when all you could do was lay in bed at night and think, how did I ever live without Him? How did I make it one day without Him? Oh, how could I have gone so long without putting my faith in this one that loves me so much? Oh, how I love Jesus. In churches, we might get up and might start singing a song, there is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music in mine ear. It's the sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because He first loved me. You know, and boy, we'd sing that. And I mean, we'd rear them hagbacks. Oh, how I love Jesus. And now it's, oh, how I love Jesus. We need to fall in love with Him. When we start singing these songs, it ought to move our souls to worship Him. It ought to move our spirit to worship Him. We need to fall in love with Him all over again. We need to go back to that place in our lives. We need to remember what it was like. That's where many Christians have fallen from. I'll tell you, in America, if Christians would have lived the way we're supposed to live, our society would not be in the shape it's supposed to, that it's in right now. We wouldn't have the welfare problems that we're having. We wouldn't have the economic struggles that we're having. We would have godly men and godly ladies in leadership. It's what we would have. You understand? We fell out of love with Jesus somewhere along the way. Having things became more important than trusting Him. No, that's me so many times. We need to fall in love with Jesus all over again. And we need to do the first works. The Bible says, remember from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works. The first works. The works prove your faith. There was a time when many people wouldn't go out without having gospel tracts in their pocket. Without the thought, I'm going to tell somebody about Jesus. First works. And certainly we could go back and we could study the church at Ephesus and get a greater understanding of the first works, but I'm being generic tonight. We could be here for a long time. But I think as we understand the first works, Paul had warned the church at Ephesus about certain things and certain people coming in. And they decided that they were going to take their stand. Those elders at Ephesus, they took their stand to fight off the devil. Now, they still came in. They still fought. They still had battles. But you know what they did? They stood strong. And we got to get back to doing the first works. For heaven's sake, work some. Christians need to get back to work. Then thirdly, we need to keep the fire going. Notice what the Bible says. Repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. Hide it under a bushel. I'm going to let it shine. But if we don't repent and do the first works, you know what Jesus said? I'll take the light away. I got news for you. The light's grown dim in America. The candle's flickering. If somebody does not get on fire for God, we're hurting. My hope is not in the next president of the United States, just like my hope is not in the president that we have now. My hope is in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear friends, I realize that I've got to put my faith and trust in Him, and this church has to put our faith and trust in Him, and we're going to have to keep the fire going. How do we keep the fire going? By falling in love with Jesus and doing the first works, because if we don't do that, He's going to come by and He's going to take it away. Churches have lost their fire. Look, all that's going on in a lot of churches is a bunch of wildfire, not Holy Ghost fire. It's not about how many people you have coming to church. It's not about a big organization. There's churches all across town. They're big organizations, but all they are is a place to get together, and the preacher has his own agenda. I have no agenda here but God's Word. That's the only agenda. And if we ever get away from something like that, I quit. I'm not here to promote, to push, to try to provoke anything. I'm here to try to help each one of us do what it is that God wants us to do. And friends, if we don't do it, these two little girls have no chance. This teenage girl and this little boy here has no chance. What's going to happen in our land if the church does not catch fire one more time and preach the Word of God and pray in the Holy Ghost and prove their faith in God? What's going to happen if we don't fall in love with Jesus and do the first works? He says, repent or else. It's repent or removal. It's revival for survival. There's only one hope for America. And that hope is the church would do what the church is supposed to do. See, my children and grandchildren, they're receiving a mess. We've really done them good, hadn't we? Let's take $1 trillion out of their pocket and bail out a bunch of hootenannies and gamblers that wasted away people's earnings. Let's bail out everybody and let our grandchildren deal with it. Where's the church? I'm not trying to be political. I'm just telling you, we need God again. Somebody get back in touch with Him one more time. Would the church fall on their knees one more time and beg God, don't leave us. We're sorry, God. We're tired of entertainment. We're tired of playing church at the house of God. We really mean it. It's not that we just need you. We've got to have you. Or else, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? If Jesus hasn't returned 10 years from now, where will we be? If we stay on this road, we're headed in the wrong direction. The demoralizing of our society, the murdering of innocent babies, the spending of someone else's money, life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, going to be a joke if we do not repent. The candle's flickering. And if the light goes out, I believe the candlestick will be removed. So why do we repent? I'd like to preach it to America. But I'll tell you what would happen. I'd be laughed off the platform. I'd be made fun of. I'd have big cartoons of me. I could imagine those cartoons. I'm nobody that deserves any notoriety, that's for sure. If I could stand behind a curtain and preach it so nobody'd know who it was, not that I'm ashamed of it, but I don't care anything. But we've got to have it. America needs revival. When a school system says it's okay for your kids, we'll pay for your kids to go watch what the Bible says is vile and wicked and abominable and wretched. We need revival. We've got to have revival. I've been in revival. It wasn't nationwide, but it was a lot of things happened. I'm getting ready to finish. We're getting ready. Get ready a hymn of invitation. I don't know what you're going to sing, but get ready something. Revival would scare most people today in a very dramatic way. 1985, I was saved in the midst of a meeting that I believe was truly a revival for a community. Started out with 200 or 300 people, ended up with over 4,000 people coming. 600 people or more got saved during that revival meeting. People began to fall on the altar, began to weep and began to cry out. People don't understand that. Somebody shouts in church now, people think, man, we've gone holy roller. I grew up in a church, quite a traditional church, but we had people in there, man, God get a hold of them. And they just couldn't help themselves. Nothing wrong with shouting as long as it's of the Lord. I found that out in the Bible. The Bible says, rejoice, leap for joy. Your name's written in heaven. I don't promote shouting. I just promote the Savior. I don't want to work it up. But I remember during that meeting, I'll never forget when people get broken and from their seats would begin to weep and cry. And over here you'd hear somebody begin to pray, "Oh God, save my boy! He's on his way to hell, save my boy!" Back here somebody cry, "Oh God, would you mend my home? I've got a broken home." You see kids in the altar, and you could be close by and you could hear them pray, "Oh God, be with my daddy, he's away from you." God worked. We don't know what revival is, but I'm going to tell you something. If it ever comes, you'll understand it. And you'll know what's happening. If you've never been around old-time religion, it'll scare you. But you just hang on. It gets real good. Some people never heard shouting before. I used to get nervous if it wasn't happening. I think something's wrong. I've come to understand a lot of that shouting was show. But you can tell when somebody's just filled up with God and they can't hold it in. I want my kids to see it again. I want my son and my daughter to have some of the things I had, but even to a greater degree. You say, how's it happen? Besides what we've said, every great movement of God has come because young people decided they were going to do for God what us old folks wouldn't do. God help us. May our young people catch on fire. May us middle-aged people, may it come on us. And may those beyond the middle-aged years, may they fan the flame. And as they're remembering the days of old, may they too be on fire again. Father, please. Tonight, may thy will be done. May we obey thee. Help us to fall in love with you all over again. Help us to do the first works. And help us to keep the fire lit and going. In Jesus' name. As the piano begins to play, quietly, please, if you stand to your feet, I want you to obey God tonight. As He speaks to you, if you need to come, you come.